reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 72 disciples returned rejoicing and said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. At that very moment, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to his disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Again this week on the Feast of St. Therese, focused on the beauty of spiritual childhood, this trusting receptivity to everything God will give us. Today we conclude this week with the joy that such childlike response gives Jesus himself. He had given the instructions, as we've heard over the course of this week, to the 12 apostles and the 60 lay people whom he had sent on out to proclaim his kingdom. And they went on out, and even though he had told them that some would reject him, reject them because they were rejecting him and the one who sent him, even though he had given them instructions that if they were not received, they should wipe the dust off their sandals rather than take the grudge with them to the next place, we would have anticipated that they may have failed on the assignment because Jesus had prepared them for it. But in fact, what had happened was it was a triumphal initial salvo. And when they came back and recounted all that had occurred, filled with joy, Jesus said, and there are two ways to take it. I've observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. First, because the demons were subject to them because of Jesus' name, he had seen the power of Satan severely damaged. That the authority that he had given them, they had exercised. He was filled with joy because of that fall. But the second meaning of it is Jesus from the beginning had seen Satan fall from the sky because of pride. And it was a veiled warning. Okay, don't let it go to your heads. Yes, you should be filled with joy at the coming of the kingdom and what that means for the devil, that we will bind him together and we will divide his spoils as long as you're united with me, the stronger man. But beware that sometimes the Satan might fall so that he might drag you down with him if because of this you become inflated. And then Jesus tried to help them to see what should fill them with the greatest joy. Do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because I have chosen you. Rejoice because of your participation in this plan. Sometimes when we think about our names being written in heaven, we think about the litany of good deeds we have done to merit having been inscribed in the book of life. No, as they had just started out on the journey, Jesus was letting them know that this was his plan for them. Rejoice that you have been called. Rejoice that your name is known in heaven. Rejoice that you are beloved and summoned by name to share in this kingdom and to spread it. And then in that experience of joy, Jesus himself exalts. The only other time St. Luke uses this verb in his gospel is with regard to Mary, when her soul bursts with joy in the Magnificat. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why? He could have praised him for anything whatsoever, simply because the Father is absolutely laudable. But he gives a reason. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. And then he exalts again. Yes, such has been your gracious will. Not just your will, but your will all full of grace. That you would choose the nobodies and make them somebodies. That you would choose those who are discarded in the world and make them your emissaries. Childlike. To be childlike makes God filled with joy. And these 72 had received this mission and they weren't intimidated, they weren't afraid, they didn't make excuses. They didn't say, nobody's going to hear us. We speak with accents, we're not rabbis in training, how are we going to handle it? No, they received the commission and out they went. Like little children emboldened by a parent who said, you can absolutely do this and I believe in you and I trust in you. That was the gracious will of the Father. And then Jesus went on, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Jesus would say later in St. John's Gospel during the Last Supper that he had handed over everything that the Father had taught him. Jesus was giving us the same treasure with which the Father had filled him, the treasure of divine filiation, for them to know in Jesus the Father's own love. It's an extraordinary gift that filled Jesus with joy, that he found people capable of receiving it. Again, the wise and the clever, the grown-ups, we can say, don't really think they need God or they want to be able to understand him in order to give a more intelligent yes. Kids are the ones who embrace it immediately, accept it as true implicitly from the beginning. And those are the ones to whom God can continue to reveal the treasures of his wisdom. And he finished by saying, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Many prophets and kings desired to see it, but didn't, and to hear what you hear, but didn't. When you look at the long, great litany of Old Testament figures, Abraham, Moses, all the prophets, major and minor, all the holy ones, the whole line of the Davidic kingdom, they all wished to see and hear the long promised one. And these childlike people were able to see. There were many others who beheld Jesus with their eyes but didn't behold him with faith. He was just another bearded carpenter from Nazareth. But they saw God in a man. And Jesus was thrilled that these childlike folks whom he loved had that privilege. We've got such greater privileges. We're able to see Jesus, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world every day. Not under the disguise of a bearded carpenter, but under the disguise of bread and wine. But how much even the apostles at this time would have longed to be able to do what we do and to receive Jesus within. But we want to fill the Lord with joy by our childlike receptivity, these graces. Go back to the extraordinary wonder when we were preparing to receive Jesus for the first time. We have a few different examples of that childlike receptivity today. First, we have it in Job. The problem with Job's friends were they were too sophisticated. They couldn't accept God's ways. And Job himself needed to convert over the course of this. He knew that everything adverse and propitious came from God's hand, that the Lord could give and take away, and his name always needed to be blessed. But it was hard over the course of time. and he began to rebel. But when God revealed to him his wisdom through it all, "Where were you, Job, when I created the world?" And then he took him on a fabulous pilgrimage through all of creation. Job very humbly today, as we heard yesterday, said, "I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be hindered." Dealt with great things that I do not understand. Children know that they can't understand everything, but they accept. "Too wonderful for me, which I cannot know." And he reverted to his childlike receptivity out of trust in God. The end of the book of Job is a little bit like a fairy tale. Everything is restored and more. What does this show? That even after we fall, God's plan is to raise us to a higher state than even we had before. And the entire book of Job is an allegory for God's mercy. Heaven rejoices more when one sinner repents. We need to be childlike in order to be able to come back and say, "I'm sorry." But God gives us that grace. And as St. Ambrose says, and I never cease repeating, our state after having been forgiven by God is greater than the state we would have had we never sinned. Because we're able to know God so much better, especially in his mercy, as Job knew him so much better after this very difficult pilgrimage through suffering and pain. Second great figure we have today to help us in childlike receptivity is St. Bruno, whom the church marks today, who received his vocation even though he was an incredibly intelligent man. His whole life was to try to strip himself from those types of worldly wisdom in order to listen so much more to the Lord and to be able to adore him. He recognized that there were many good things he was forsaking, but as Jesus said in today's gospel, many prophets and kings, and we could say so many others, desired to see what he was capable of seeing in his adoration and hearing the Lord's voice that he was capable of hearing in his meditation. And he wasn't going to forsake that for anything. He had a childlike capacity to place himself before the Lord, to allow the Lord to guide him in everything. That he laid down human ways of thinking to fill himself with the thoughts of God. Third great figure we can focus on today is Blessed Marie-Rose de Rocher, fellow French-Canadian whom we cannot forsake on October 6th, but a great religious. She, her brother Théophile, had been a priest and had asked her to come and work in the rectory. And she basically did until she was 30, and saw in his parish ministry just how people longed for an education. Not just to be educated in the ways of the world, in the various R's, but also in God, that people were ignorant of the faith. She had wanted to join a French order in order to be able to teach, but it was complicated. So she became the founders herself of the religious sisters of Jesus, of the holy names of Jesus and Mary. And what's fascinating to me is she went into the novitiate at 33 years old. She died at 38. She didn't become one of these founders who lived for 60 years and taught tens of thousands. Very, very young in life, she was already responding to God's call to holiness. And her religious life was just that crown, and she set in motion this whole institute that eventually taught millions of children how to appreciate what they would see and hear, and to accept the kingdom as children accept, and how ticked Satan was at her work. The second place I was pastor had the religious sisters of the holy names of Jesus and Mary as the teachers in that school for centuries. So I was able to serve so many who had been trained by those sisters to hunger for the Lord as Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher did. The final witness we can give is Mary herself. A lot of the times we look at Mary as mother, a lot of the times we look at her as the perfect icon of the disciple. But it's important for us to look at Mary's childlike faith more and more frequently, because it's that we're called to imitate. She was one who longed for the Lord, who trusted the Lord, so that when he said something absolutely biologically impossible, that through the archangel she would become the mother of the eternal Son of God and remain a virgin. She said, "Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum." She accepted that God was able to do anything and everything and gave a childlike, wholehearted yes. I've never forgotten the fact that Mary was, according to the pseudo-gospels, only about 14 when all of this happened. She wasn't 25. She was 14. She was, effectively, still a child when God came to her. And she responded with the wisdom that makes someone truly full stature in her son. And it's because of her childlike approach to the faith that she is able to experience the joy of a child, which is so much greater than the joy of an adult. And if we wish to imitate Mary as the cause of our joy, there is only one path: to follow Saint Therese along that little way of trust and love. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, Satan will fall from the sky. How upset he is that we are here to love Jesus and to fall down before him and to make him the source and the summit of our life. And Jesus today, before the Father's throne, is praising him for revealing these truths to us who appreciate what we hear.